And now, our speaker of the hour, Brother Ernest Laws.
For our study this evening, we'd like to raise a question and then proceed to answer it in the light of what the Bible teaches. The question is, does it make any difference? Does it make any difference what a man believes? Well, what does the Bible say? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, and which also ye received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, lest ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures." We drop down to verse 14, and it says, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also vain." Now, does it make any difference about what one believes? In this text, Paul states conclusively that a man's faith is in vain if he does not believe in the resurrection of Christ. A man's belief or disbelief in the resurrection will not affect the resurrection, but what one believes will affect his destiny on the day of the resurrection. What difference does it make about one's religion if he is honest and sincere? What difference does it make about the church one belongs to if he is honestly endeavoring to serve God? Does it make any difference about what one believes? Now, these are questions, my friends, for serious consideration. Surely, there must be a difference. We would not be so foolish as to say it doesn't make any difference when it comes to material things of this life. There is a difference when we purchase an insurance policy. Does it make any difference about the premium, the benefits, or exclusions? There is a difference when we build a house. What about the plans and specifications and the blueprints? Does it make any difference then when we violate the law? How could men say, "But it makes no difference what a man believes"? We are told that in a town in India, there is an ancient temple which serves as a rat sanctuary. The rats are considered to be holy. No man, tourist or otherwise, is permitted to harm the holy rats. Quote, "A priest warns, if you should kill a rat, you will be required to present the temple with a statue of a rat cast in gold, or the equivalent in cash, in the amount of 3,000 rupees or $400. Now, friends, here's thousands of honest and sincere people worshiping rats in a, quote, holy rat temple. This worshiping of rats goes on day in and day out. They are not ordinary rats. These rats are the divine mounts of an Hindu god with the head of an elephant who is the god, or called the god, quote, of prosperity. What irony! What a delusion! Thousands of honest, deeply religious people worshiping rats as the god of prosperity, buying food for thousands of hungry rats in one temple at a cost of 24,000 rupees or $3,250 per year, while many of their own people die of starvation. Now, friends, no responsible person would question the honesty and sincerity of these people with such deep religious convictions. But does that make it right because they believe it to be so? Does it make it any difference? Really, does it make any difference about what a person believes? In a country now where the per capita income is only $40 per year, where 80% of the population suffer from malnutrition, in spite of the fact that the United States has contributed billions of dollars since 1951, we are so greatly impressed that it does make a difference about a man's religion, what he believes, and what he does. How could any reasonable person conclude that it doesn't make any difference about what a person believes? You see, a falsehood, when believed to be the truth, may produce the same effect upon one as it were, as if it were the truth, though completely false. A person may honestly and sincerely believe a falsehood, but his honesty and sincerity in the matter does not change the falsehood, nor the consequences of believing the falsehood. A person who wants to believe a proposition may find it easy to bribe his conscience, even if it means perverting truth and facts. Truth and error. Is there really any difference? Does it make any difference? Actually, we should say, is there any difference in truth and error? Let's hear the answer from the Word of God. We read from John 8, verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, we read where it says, With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perished, who received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Paul goes on to say, And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they might all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, does that make any difference? Is there any difference between truth and error? Jesus said here, The truth shall make you free, John 8:32. Paul said that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Now, what is the difference? Believe and obey the truth and obtain salvation. Ye shall be free, Jesus declared. Or believe a falsehood and suffer condemnation. Well, now, does that make any difference? Truth and salvation? A lie and condemnation? Surely there must be a difference. The difference, my friends, is the difference between truth and error. The difference is that of being saved or that of being lost. Now, there are many Bible examples which answer the question, does it make any difference? In 1 Kings chapter 13, we have a conclusive answer to this most important question. Here Jehovah instructed a prophet of God out of Judah to go to Bethel and destroy the altar by which King Jeroboam offered incense. God instructed the young prophet not to go home with anyone, neither eat bread nor drink water, nor return the route over which he went to Bethel. The instructions were simple, wouldn't you say? And easily understood. Now, the prophet obeyed God. The altar was destroyed. The king reached forth to lay hands on the prophet of God, but his hand dried up. He then besought the prophet of God that his hand should be restored. The prophet favored him by asking God to restore his hand, and it was restored. The king then invited the prophet to go home with him. The prophet declined the invitation. The king insisted. But the prophet said, note, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread nor drink water in this place. 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse 4 through 9. My friends, I ask, what could have been wrong with the prophet's acceptance of the king's invitation? Don't you know that the prophet must have been tired, hungry, and thirsty? Would he not have appreciated the hospitality of the most humble home, much less that of a king's palace? Surely, there could be nothing morally wrong with it within itself. For the prophet to have gone home with the king, there was just one thing wrong. God said, do not, now get it, friends, do not go home with anybody. Do not eat or drink with anyone. Does that make any difference? Listen, my friends, it makes all the difference. We must obey God in all things He has commanded, even though we may not understand the full significance of such actions. We dare not to disobey God, regardless of what others say or think. We must not disobey God. Now, man cannot alter God's word, regardless of circumstances. But now let's continue the story here. There was an older prophet who lived in Bethel. His sons came home and told their father that what the men of God had done in Bethel and how he had declined the invitation of the king. The elder prophet then went to find the young prophet. He found him sitting under an oak tree. An oak. He invited the young prophet to go home with him and eat bread. The young prophet declined, saying, God had forbidden him to eat or drink with anyone there. But the elder prophet said, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse 18. Now the sad thing is, the young prophet believed the older prophet. He believed the older prophet was telling him the truth. But the Bible says the old prophet lied unto him. 1 Kings 13 and verse 18. Oh, how often honest and sincere people are misled by placing their trust and confidence in men of earth. Someone may say, but I believe Dr. Bill because he's an educated man. He's a man that knows God. And I'm willing to follow his instructions, regardless of what the Bible says. Oh, what a tragic mistake. We would not encourage distrust of our fellow man. Neither would we recommend unqualified trust in man, regardless of God's orders either. One cannot put his trust in any man for salvation. Friends, when any man contradicts God's word, we have no alternative but to believe God and reject man. An inspired apostle said in Acts 5 and verse 29, But we ought to obey God rather than men. Now in this case, the elder prophet declared that he spoke by the authority of an angel who spoke unto him the word of the Lord. The young prophet was deceived by falsehood. Does it make any difference? Well, let's see. What happened to the young prophet? Well, the young prophet accepted the invitation of the old prophet. He believed the old prophet was telling him the truth. The very conscientious young prophet went home with the old prophet, and as they sat at the table, God calls the elder prophet to reveal the fact that he lied to the young prophet. Furthermore, God made it known through the old prophet that the young prophet must pay the penalty of his disobedience to God. The penalty of believing a lie, in this case, was death. The young prophet mounted a donkey and started on his way back home, having been deceived by a lie, sincerely believing it to have been the truth. And as he traveled on the way, a lion leaped upon him, dragged him from his donkey, crushed the life from his body. Why? All because of his disobedience to God. He believed the old prophet then was delivering to him a message from God. He believed it was the truth, but it was a lie. The young prophet's believing this was a message of truth from God. It did not change the fact it was a lie. When you believe a falsehood, you believe it sincerely to be the truth, and yet it's a falsehood. You know, it doesn't change the truth. The honest and sincere belief of a lie cost the young prophet his life. Did that make any difference? It should be observed in this case that the man who told the lie was not the man who was punished. The man who believed the lie was the man who paid the penalty. Oh yes, liars will have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone, Revelation 21 and 8. But those who believe a lie, even though they believe it to be the truth, must also suffer the consequences. It does make a difference. Why did the elder prophet lie to the young prophet? We do not know. Perhaps he thought God would overlook the falsehood since he was doing a good deed by inviting the tired and no doubt hungry young prophet to his home. We can imagine that the elder prophet had sincere sympathy and interest in the welfare of the young prophet. Surely he was wanting to do good. But sincere and honorable motives and deeds will not atone for disobedience to God's commands. We all need to learn that truth. Many sincere people have concluded that God will overlook their disobedience because of the good deeds they do. Honest people are often deceived. The motives of the elder prophet may have been good, but the belief of a falsehood by the young prophet was fatal. It cost his life. Does that make any difference? My friends, honesty doesn't change error. The belief of a proposition, though honest and sincere, and people, you do not doubt the honesty and sincerity of people in religion for the most part. And so the belief of a proposition, though honest and sincere one might be, does not make it right. Never will. My friends, does it make any difference then about your religion? Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Are you a member of the Lord's church? Don't you know that it does make a difference? Let us consider then the conversion of the Ephesians in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. And here we read, it says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, That they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now it is said of the Ephesians that they were disciples. A disciple is a learner, one who has been taught. They were not ignorant. The religion they practiced was the religion they had been taught. Well, does it make any difference about one's religion? Now here the Ephesians were disciples who were believers. They were honestly and sincerely endeavoring to serve God according to what they believed. And so they were believers. Does it make any difference? Some religionists would affirm that man is saved by faith only. They say it doesn't make any difference what one believes. But as we meditate upon this case of conversion, I ask, does it make any difference what one believes? Not only were the Ephesians disciples who were believers, but they were believers who had been baptized, having received the baptism of John the Baptist. They were therefore baptized believers. Question, does it make any difference about one's baptism? Now, Paul the Apostle taught them the way of the Lord more perfectly. He said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." The Bible records here, "When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Acts chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. They were baptized the second time. Really, does it make any difference? Here's a group of honest and sincere people who were believers, who had been baptized with the baptism of John the Baptist. But obviously, their faith and practice was not acceptable unto God. The baptism of John was no longer valid. Paul taught them the truth more completely. He taught them that there is one baptism. Later in his letter to the church at Ephesus, He very appropriately reminded them that there is one baptism, Ephesians 4 and verse 5. Now, they had been baptized the second time in order to comply with the teaching of the Master, who declared baptism in His name as being essential to salvation. Listen to Matthew's account of the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Mark's account says, and these are the words of the Master to His apostles, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, friends, baptism that is not in the name of the Lord and for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38, could not be the one baptism which the inspired apostle required of the Ephesians, and which the Bible requires of all of us today. This matter was so important to these sincere believers that they then, friends, were baptized the second time. And so honestly, does it make any difference? One may ask, well, what difference does it make about baptism? Well, let's let the Bible answer. The question, first of all, who is to be baptized? Does it make any difference who is to be baptized? Well, let's see. The Bible says believers only, not infants. Jesus said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit. They are to be then of the mentality to be taught. Jesus said, he that believeth. So it's an individual who then has the mentality to be taught and one who can believe, as Mark 16 and 16 says. And then in Acts 8, 30-31, when Philip joined that chariot with that queen's treasure, he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And so one must then understand, be able to understand. In Acts 8, 36-39, when Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, and they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hindereth me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest it with all thine heart that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the man confessed his faith in Christ. And so in Acts 18 and verse 8, it says, many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized, then rejoiced, believing in God. Acts 16, verse 33-34. Acts 2:44, all that believe were together and had all things common. And so, does it make any difference who is to be baptized? Surely, my friends, you can see that the Bible says it does make a difference. Question then, why be baptized? Does it make any difference? The Bible says it's for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. When the people on the day of Pentecost wanted to know what to do to be saved, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. What is baptism for? Why be baptized? Inspiration says, for the remission of sins. Acts 22:16, great apostle Paul said he was baptized to wash away his sins. He was told by Ananias, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Why be baptized? Jesus said to be saved. Mark 16 and 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. My friends, it makes all the difference in the world. The difference between being saved from past and alien sins, being added to the Lord's church, and thus serving the Lord. That's how much difference it makes. Paul in Romans 6, 3 says that we're baptized into Christ. Does that not make baptism essential? Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? In Galatians 3:27, the same apostle said, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The Apostle Peter, by inspiration of God, said, "Baptism doth also now save us," 1 Peter 3:21. Why be baptized? Does it really make any difference? Certainly does. Then the question, how is one baptized? Does that make any difference? Baptism means, of course, immersion, to dip, to cover up, overwhelm, bury. Now we notice in John chapter 3 and verse 23 that John the Baptist was baptized at Enam near to Salem because there was much water there. Much water. How much? Well, let's let the Bible answer. In Acts 8, verse 38-39, it says, "And here where Philip then commanded the chariot to stand still, and he and the eunuch got out of that chariot, and it says, and they went down both into the water. And they came up out of the water. Philip baptized him, and they came up out of the water." Romans 6 and verse 4 said, "Therefore, being buried with him by baptism into death, that we should be raised to walk in newness of life. Planted together in the likeness of his death." Romans 6 and 5. So does it make any difference how one is baptized? "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him, through the faith of the operation of God," Colossians 2 and verse 12. In Romans 6, 5, chapter 6 and verse 5, Paul said, "It's in the likeness of his resurrection." My friends, the Bible is right and cannot be wrong. And when we follow the Bible, we know that we are right and cannot be wrong.